Welcome back to EcoTalk. We're continuing our conversation with New York Times reporter, environmental correspondent Andy Revkin, who's written some great articles about climate change. And now he's getting some criticism. The Senate's top climate skeptic is turning up the heat on media. Let's blame the messengers, kill them off if we can. And one in particular, of course, we're talking about Senator James Inhofe, who just continues to give us a lot to talk about. Let's look at the positive side of all this. And of course, he's the one who has called human-induced climate change, or at least as far as we can tell it's human-induced, the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on mankind. And that gets quoted a lot by people who want to dismiss Al Gore's movie, even though they refuse to see it. And so he's now trying to spank journalists who have, as he says, failed to give equal time to global warming skeptics. Well, I guess Al Gore said the debate is over. Is it over, Andy?
Well, you know, there it all depends on which debate you're talking about. The debate over whether humans are influencing climate was over a long time ago. In other words, even Richard Lindzen, one of the veteran contrarians on this, MIT scientist who's often quoted by Senator Inhofe, has said that in that Wall Street Journal piece that was rather famous back in April, attacking alarmists, he did say that more carbon dioxide, you know, the stuff that comes out of smokestacks and tailpipes, will make the world warmer. The debate, there is a legitimate debate in some corners of this about how fast that will happen, how much warming will result, how dangerous that is. In other words, you know, and that depends on where you live and what you do and on values, judgments. But the basics of the science are ancient history.
Well, what I love is, you know, I've been offering my services to any talk show hosts of the right-wing persuasion or ultra-religious who wants to, you know, take on climate change and, you know, arrogantly telling their listeners, you know, not to see Al Gore's movie no matter what, and they refuse to even intelligently comment on it. So it's interesting to me that now that Tom Brokaw has done this also very important piece of work documenting climate change and glaciers, you know, dropping off into the oceans. Now they're criticizing Tom Brokaw as being biased, okay? And Associated Press science reporter Seth Borenstein, where will it stop?
Well, I was rather startled that this contagion kind of came my way. If anything, I have developed a reputation of looking at these issues about as dispassionately and carefully and in the most science-driven way that you can. And I've been my work has been held out by people on all sides of this debate as accurate and fair to the science. And so when there were these quotes last week from some of Inhofe's top staff saying that the North Pole was here, my new book is alarmist, and the guy in the same quote acknowledged that he hadn't read it yet, just the title itself, he said, was enough evidence that it was alarmist. I was rather kind of shocked.
Shocked. This is, yeah, that's the other thing they always say is that I say, well, why would, you know, this be made up, you know, and how could this be a conspiracy on the part of researchers, scientists, journalists, many of them, you know, what's in it for them, you know? And, well, he said, that's obvious. What? Greed, you know, that they're all out for the money, that as long as this hoax of, you know, climate change is perpetuated, there will be more money for their research. I say, yeah, environmentalists, researchers, scientists, university, you know, researchers, they're all known for their greed, right? I mean, how ludicrous is that? But they say that, and now they're saying the same thing about you, that your ulterior motive is to, you know, improve book sales and enhance your paper's coverage of climate change by putting out, you know, articles and books that actually say climate change is real.
I know. Well, you know, the bottom line, I issued a response that's on the webs in some places. Basically, I said that in this world that we live in, journalism in America is a commercial operation. I mean, we sell newspapers, too, and that comes with some cost. You know, there are times when news is conveyed in an inflammatory way. But there's a difference between a tabloid and the New York Times, and there's a difference between a book I write and a book that anyone who has a stronger agenda would write on this issue. You know, I'm a science writer, and basically, with the North Pole was here, I'm expanding my journalism to a new audience, younger people. So much of what this whole debate about the perils of climate change has taken place in the absence of the people who are going to be most affected, which is the next generation or two. And if I'm not writing for kids, then I'm not doing my full job. And my goal with this book actually was to have a non-spun, science-driven story about, you know, the science that the scientists who are out there, I mean, they're risking their lives out at in the sea ice at the North Pole to help clarify the very dangers that some of these critics are poo-pooing. And I went with them, you know, to try to convey that story. It's rather heroic. It's kind of invisible heroism. I mean, they're diving under the sea ice at the North Pole to collect data to help us understand how the Arctic is going to respond to a warming world. And for someone to kind of say, oh, this is all just a commercial, some commercial enterprises.
The height of cynicism. And
well, yeah, more than cynicism.
Yeah, worse, exactly. It's criminal. And beyond, I just want to share an anecdote I mentioned a few weeks ago. I was interviewed by a Christian radio station in Detroit, I believe it was, a guy named Bob Duca, and he, you know, said all the usual things. And at the end, when he just kept refusing to see the movie, because why should he believe Al Gore? He's not a scientist, and he's only one guy. I said, you know, are you a parent by any chance? And he said, yeah. I said, just curious, how many kids do you have? He said, oh, we just had our seventh a few weeks ago. I said, and you're a man of religion, and you have seven children, and you are putting so much energy into denouncing this movie and denouncing climate change. And I said, it's a 92-minute film. Don't you feel obliged as a talk show host to at least go out and see it? And, yeah. You know, and he agreed to see it, but that's the bottom line. And then I said, okay, if you have any kind of religious conversion, see things differently, come back and be on EcoTalk.
Yeah.
We're out of time, but Andy, just any parting thoughts?
Well, the one key thing is, as I said to the staff of Inhofe, go to the website where you can read for free the first chapter of the book and make your own judgment, nytimes.com/learning/global warming. It's all there. So anyone can make their own mind up.
That's what I recommend. Thanks so much, Andy Revkin with the New York Times. We'll be right back right after this news break.